Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Hey, that was a good morning, wasn't it? It's great to be with you again this morning, and we're going to be looking at Joshua. Have you ever followed somebody else in a job? So the person's done the job, they retire, or they finish the job, and then you take over. But that person's been really, really successful and highly thought of. And no one's going to talk about football at the minute, but really, really successful thought of. But then you've got to follow them in the job. It's not always easy, is it? But we're going to look at the life of Joshua. Joshua had to follow Moses as the leader of the children of Israel. And we're going to look at Joshua. We're going to look at how he grew, how he developed, how he became a leader. And also to think through this for ourselves. Where is God taking you? Where is God taking you individually or as a family, as a church? Where is God taking you in? How is God taking you there? You know, because as we're going to read in a minute on our first reading, the children of Israel didn't always understand where God was taking them. In fact, didn't always want to go where God was taking them. And Joshua and Moses and the other leaders had to deal with that. So we're going to look at three stories from the life of Joshua. We're going to look at Joshua as one of the 12 spies. Now, these were people who were sent into the promised land to go and spy it out. And they came back with messages and came back with what they saw and what they thought about what they saw. Secondly, we're going to look at the story of how Joshua was installed as the new leader after Moses has died. And then we're going to look at the third and final story we're going to look at is when Joshua met the leader of the Lord's army, this angelic being. And Joshua asked this question: are you for us or are you for them? Have you ever heard that question before? Are you on our side or are you on their side? And we're going to find out what he answered. And we're going to think about what he answered and how that was important. But our first reading is from Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 26. Numbers chapter 13, starting at verse 26. And it reads like this. We're going to read through, chapter 14, verse 9. And it reads like this. They came back to Moses. This is the 12 spies who have been sent out. They came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. They reported to them all and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. Now they brought some huge grapes and fruit back from where they'd been. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and with honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak. Now, they were giants of the day. There. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live near the sea along the Jordan. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are, and they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are giant size. We see the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in their eyes, and we looked, and we looked the same to them. That night, the members of the community raised their voices and wept aloud. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. And the assembly said to them, if only we had died in Egypt or in the wilderness, why is the Lord bringing us to the land only to let us fall by the sword? Our wives and children will be taken as plunder. won't it be better to go back to Egypt? And they said to each other, we should have chosen a leader, and we should choose a leader and go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole Israelite assembly that had gathered there. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb of Jephthah, who were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes and said to the entire Israelite assembly, the land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us and will lead us into the land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and will give us, we will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will devour them. Their protection is gone. The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them. That was the first time we come across Joshua in this sense. But think about it. The 12 had gone in. Think about what they'd done. They'd seen. It's amazing what your eyes do, isn't it? If you've got good eyesight and you can see. They'd seen things. They'd picked the grapes. They'd picked the fruit. They'd seen the honey. They'd seen the milk of the land. They'd got it in their hands. They sensed it. They felt it. They heard it. They saw it. And then their minds start to process. It's interesting what your mind does, isn't it? Your mind starts to process, and you start to think, hold on, how are we going to come into this land? How can we do this? Who are we to do this? But you see, 2 out of 10 didn't see the land as a threat. They saw God as the victor, and the Lord was on their side. You know, in the New Testament, in Romans 12, 1 and 2, it says this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. It tells us this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not be conformed to the patterns of the world. In other words, do not think like the world thinks. Where you see things, as you hear things, as you touch things, don't think, don't process the information like the world processes it. Because the world looks at a big man and says, I can't fight him, he's too big. The world looks at a big wall and thinks, I can't get over it, it's too big. And the world looks at different things and processes it in a different way. And here it's saying this, do not be conformed to the pattern of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good and pleasing will. How do we renew our mind? From being programmed by the world to tell us what we can and can't do, what's achievable, what's not achievable. You know, when I was at school, when I was 16 a long time ago in 1980, I was 16, I was due to leave school. And I probably told you this before, but I went to the careers room in the school. And in this careers room, there's all these images of people going on Manchester liners that were still in business in those days, going round the world. There's the people, there's the images of the army and navy, etc., travelling round the world. There's all these images of people achieving things in this room. I'm going into this room going, wow. And I sat down in the chair with the careers officer. She opened my file. She looked at my non-expected exam results and she went, you'll be lucky to get a job in a factory. And you know what? She was actually, humanly speaking, right for 1980 in Salford. Because to get a job in a factory was actually something, because a lot of the lads never got a job, you know, in 1980 when they left school. So humanly speaking, she was right. But she had the mindset of the world. See, when God looked at me, he saw what I was going to do because of what he put in me. And Christ in us is the hope of glory. He saw what we could do and what could be achieved and where you could get to. You know, and in a sense, that's what Joshua and Caleb were like. They were seeing with the eyes and the ears of God. Do you know, in another verse here, in 1 Corinthians 2:15 and 16, it says this: "The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject merely to human judgments." The person with the Holy Spirit will make judgments, but they're not going to judge just like humans judge. It says here, "For," and then it quotes an Old Testament verse, "Who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him?" Then it says this, "But we have the mind of Christ." Think about that for a minute. When our mind is renewed, we have the mind of Christ. Don't let anyone tell you you've not got a great mind. When you've got the mind of Christ, that's a great mind. So we process things differently. We think about things differently. We don't take what the world says. We go, "Father, what are you saying about this situation?" So Joshua and Caleb are walking through this land with these other spies. These other spies are going, "Oh, look at the size of them." The knees starting to knock. He reminds me of old dad's army. "Don't panic, don't panic." As he's walking through. And the other one is, "It, we're doomed." You know the old films. He reminds me that that's how they were. But Joshua and Caleb are going, "Wow, this is a great place to live." You see, what's interesting, have the different mindset. I want to encourage you, renew your mind. Read the Word of God. Think on it. Meditate on it. Don't let it pass away from your eyesight in that sense. Keep on taking it in, keep on reflecting it. Keep your ears and news, your ears, other things. Listen to what God's saying about a situation. Because He's able to do immeasurably more than we can ever ask or imagine. You know, and when we think about where are we going, what we're going to do, whether that's as an individual, as a family, as a church, have the mind of Christ. And then when you have the mind of Christ, in John 12:49 and 50, it says this, and this is Jesus speaking. If you've got the mind of Christ, then think about how you speak. This is what Jesus said: "For I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all I have spoken. I know that His command leads to eternal life, so whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say." That's what Joshua and Caleb were like. They had the mind of Christ, but then they were conscious of their words. Words can build up. Words bring life. Look at the very story of creation. Jesus is the Word. He spoke out and creation happened because it was the Father's will. And Jesus said, "Every single word I ever spoken was given to me by my Father." Notice this, He didn't react. So in a sense, in Joshua's case, he didn't see all the big giants, and Joshua having that similar mind, when he saw all the big giants, he didn't go, "Help." He went, "Victory." Another story, I won't nick next week's talk, but just think about David and Goliath very quickly at the same time. If you want another image of that. How many people saw that man and went, "Help!" And David saw that man and went, "Victory. Victory. I'm going to walk in victory." And then just one last reading, just to us, one last couple of verses to us, is in 2 Corinthians 5:7. It says this: "We walk," or some versions will say "live," "we walk" or "live by faith and not by sight. And I just want to reflect on that briefly as we think about this passage of Joshua and Caleb. They've seen all they've seen. They've seen it, and yet are the men big? They're big. Is the food plentiful? Yes. Are the walls high? Yes. But guess what? I'm walking by faith. Because my God's bigger than him. My God's bigger than that wall. My God's bigger than this. If he wants us to come in, we can come in. If he wants us to go this way, we can go this way. If God wants us to do this, if God's calling us to do this, we can do it. And I'd encourage you just to think and reflect in the journey of life with God that you've got. As a church and as individuals, as families, I just want you to think and reflect and to ask God, you know what? We need the mind of Christ. We need the mind of Christ. We need to think like he thought, speak as he spoke, live as he lived. We'd need that. Because although Joshua was before Christ, he had that way of living. He lived that way. And that's the first story, and just reflect on that. The second story is that he's chosen 40 years later. They never went into that land 40 years previously from the next story, because 10 of them said no and 2 said yes. They lived on manna, which was like a flake of bread. They lived on manna and quail for 40 years. Do you ever have the same meal and you think, and then you have it because you really like it, and then you have it again because you really like it, then you have it again because you really like it, and then you don't fancy it again? They had 40 years of the same meal. They went round and said, the generation that said we can't go in, guess what? They never went in. The new generation came through. 40 years on, Joshua and Caleb were the only two of the mature adults who actually went into the promised land from that original group. And then Moses can't go in, and Moses that rolls up the mountain and dies. And it says this in Joshua 1, starting at verse 1 of Joshua 1. And this is Joshua being installed as the leader. 40 years on, he's walked by faith for 40 years, believing they can go into the land. Can I just say this? Sometimes God promises things and they don't happen right away. Or we pray for something and we don't see it right away. This man has waited 40 years. Now let's do a little thinking about this. The year today is 2025. I think I remember that one right. If you went back 40 years, Joe and Sandra have been married for 10 years at that point. If you went back 40 years, guess what? It's 1985. I'm looking around this room and some people are going, I've read about that in the history books. And other people go, I remember it well. But 40 years is a long time, isn't it? But he waited 40 years and he didn't lose his faith that he was going in. That's a leader. When he walked around with Caleb, another thing to think on, he fought like a leader. He saw like a leader because he was keeping close touch with God. He looked and he saw like a leader. Then God was going to make him leader. 40 years on of waiting for the promise. And then it reads like this, from verse 1 of chapter 1 of Joshua through to verse 11. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the river Jordan into the land I'm going to give them to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the deserts to the Lebanon and from the great river Euphrates over all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Just stop there for a second. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. All the age. Remember stories of Moses coming down the mountain and his face shone with the Shekinah glory of God. The closeness of relationship Moses had with God. The way Moses talked about the people with God. The way God talked to Moses about the people. He's saying to Joshua, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Think about that for a minute. Do you know you can draw closer and God can draw close to you the same way? We have access into the Holy of Holies. You've got something and God's asking you to do and God's speaking to you about being something. God is with you. Like he was here. He goes on to say, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Wow. Think about that as a promise. Whatever I face, whatever happens, he's been with Moses. He's seen Moses and the people turn on Moses and try and get rid of him. He's seen all sorts of things happen. And God's saying, I'm going to be with you always. I'm never going to forsake you. And guess what? That is a promise that we have as well. He is with us always. He never forsakes us. God is with you as a congregation at Mount Chapel. And he has never forsaken you, and he never will forsake you. He's helping you to move forward, and he's going to lead you forwards. And he goes on to say, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore their ancestors to give them. He's saying to Joshua, think on me. Joshua, look to me. Joshua, receive from me. I'm with you. I'm not forsaking you. But be strong and be courageous. Because you're going to have to face some things. There is some things when you're moving forward with God that are hard. There's some things that are tough. That's why we're called to be overcomers. Because we've got to overcome those things. We've got to keep our eyes and our ears attuned to him. We've not got to look to the right. That's the right. Or the left. You can tell I'm not fit like, aren't you? You've got to turn to the right, to the left. We've got to keep focused on him. We've got to keep on going with him. Be strong. Be courageous. And he says that. Then he goes on to say, be strong, be courageous. Be cheerful to obey all the law. Be careful, to obey all the law of my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep the book of the law always on your lips, the word of God. Where should the word of God be? In the cupboard? Not on my lips. When I speak, just as Jesus said, I don't ever speak what my Father has given me. You have to speak those words. Words of hope, words of future, words of blessing, words of overcoming. And he goes on to say, the book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I think this is a promise of God. You're going to be prosperous and successful. I'm going to prosper you. I'm going to grow you. I'm going to make you successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You ever read those words? We're going to carry on that passage just one second. But you ever read, when you read those words, you ever go, thank you. I thank you, God. That as you lead us forward in every situation. You will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You encourage us to be strong and courageous. You tell us not to be afraid. Why? I've got nothing to be afraid of in Him. He is my strong tower. He is my protector. He is the one who goes before me. He's got my back as well as my front. He's there with me. He's leading me on. Has anyone ever looked at their family history? The DNA test, fine, because we've got a strand of our family we can't find out where they come from, but they come from the Middle East, so we couldn't find where they came from. So I had to have this DNA test. We come from the Middle East, and you look at things like that. I like doing it even more than looking back. I like looking forwards and saying, if we stay with God and we're strong and courageous, I wonder where we'll end up. I can read the history. I want to look and pray into the future of the family line and where we'll end up. And the same for here, Mount Chapel. Next year will be your 60th year as Mount Chapel, prior to previously being Lightbound Hall, if I remember my history correct. But have you ever wondered what the next 60 years are going to be like? You know, some of us, me included, may not see the next full 60 years. But you know what? There's going to be people who come in. There's going to be people who worship God. There's going to be people who journey with God, who tell the stories of God, who build upon what God built through you and in you. There's going to be another 60 years. And this is what he's really speaking into Joshua. You are going into this place, Joshua, but actually you've got to set the standards for the future. You've got to set the behavioural pattern. You've got to set the way of thinking. You've got to set the relationship with me. Why? Because that's what others are going to build upon. You've got to set the culture of how you're going to live. Then he goes on to say this again. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp and tell the people, get your provisions ready. 3 days from now you will cross the Jordan here to go and to take the possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. In 3 days, get ready. In 3 days you go in. 40 years before, they wouldn't go. 40 years on, they're going to go. Because this man is standing up and he's leading them in the ways God has led him. And just one last reading here, and just a short explanation on this. Reading from Joshua 5, starting at Joshua chapter 5, starting at verse 9. And it reads like this. Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Just think about that very quickly. The past is gone. The reproach of Egypt, the reproach of your past, the reproach of what people said about you, like Nick say that, the reproach of that careers lady saying you'll never get a job in a factory. She'd have a laugh if she saw some of the places I've been to. Do you know what I mean? The reproach of what people said over you, it's gone. The reproach is gone. Egypt is gone. So the place has been called Gilgal to this day. That's the place where God said that to him. On the evening of the 14th day of the month, while camped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, the Israelites celebrated the Passover. That was coming out of Egypt. The day after the Passover, that very day, they ate some of the produce of the land, unleavened bread and roasted grain. The manna stopped the day after they ate the food of the land. When God had given them the land, he took away the food that he'd been giving them for 40 years. They were now eating the fruit of the land he called them to. There was no longer any manna for the Israelites, but that year they ate the produce of Canaan. Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and said, Are you for us? Are you for our enemies? Neither. Stop laughing at it. This is a big angelic being. And Joshua's probably thinking, he's on our side. You know, he's with us. And he goes up to him and he says, are you for us? Are you for them we're going to take on? And he goes, neither. Think about this. Listen to what he says next. Neither, he replied, because as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Whoa. I'm not taking sides. I follow him. You're not drawing me into this. I'm for him. I'm for him. Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, what message does my Lord have for his servant? The commander of the Lord's army replied, take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. I'm going to say this here. In God, the place you are standing as Mount Chapel Church is holy. Because it's a place of meeting with him. There's a time to listen. There's a time to be still. There's a time to wait on the Lord. And there's a time to rise up and be strong and be courageous and go as he leads. Joshua had lived through all those times. And he kept his eyes and his ears on God. And he kept journeying with him. I just want to encourage you and just say, the next 60 years after next year, they're going to be brilliant. Because you're going to go with him. And you'll leave a legacy like Moses left for Joshua of going with him. And people will pick up the legacy and they'll run with it. And they'll go with him. As you have picked up the legacy from other people and ran with it. Keep your eyes and your ears to God. Be strong and courageous. Because he will never leave you and he will never forsake you. He has the future mapped out for you. Go with him. Celebrate him. Enjoy being in his presence. Enjoy being together in his presence. Speak well of each other. Encourage each other. Bless each other. Build each other up in the faith. Iron sharpens iron, it tells in Proverbs, as people sharpen people. Be those people. God will add to you. Run the race. And I'll cheer you on. Can I pray for you? Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you. We want to thank you that you're for us. We want to thank you that you're going to never leave us. You're going to never forsake us, no matter what situation. Thank you as we keep our eyes and our ears on you. We can go with you and you will lead us forward. Thank you for the good future you've got prepared for us. Is it always going to be easy? No, that's why we've got to be strong and courageous. But in you we can be strong and courageous and we can see the victories won. We can celebrate the joy of the Lord is our strength. And we can receive your grace and your blessing. We pray a blessing over the future of our church, over the future of our lives, over the future of our families. And say, Father God, may we never pass you by and may you never pass us by. May we journey well together in the name of Jesus. Amen.